Clem's Wine Corner. Yeah, bitch. That's new Sting, by the way. Just me again. A day late. Again, sorry. I know it's a Wine Corner Wednesday, technically, but it's a Thursday. But it's better than Sunday, which is what it was last week. So, yeah, apologies again for that. And, yeah, apologies again that it's just it's a singular host once again this week. But we should be back to a full-strength panel, I believe, this time next week when Clem returns from his travels in Brazil. So that's very exciting, unless he's too jet-lagged and has a major attitude problem as soon as he comes back, which is what happens most of the time. So it could be another solo one next week. I won't over-promise and under-deliver on that front, if I can get my words out. Welcome back, another week. I hope you've all been well. I've not. Busy times, frantic times, lots of things to do, lots of things to set up, but hey, look, it's just, it's all part and parcel of the game we call life, isn't it? Without further ado, I'm going to rip into some wine. Now, full disclosure, Dad was making bolognese, so I've just pulled this off the side of the counter, and it's just dawning on me now, given the nose, that this could well be cooking wine. It's a Nero Oro Reserva. Nero, so N-E-R-O, and then O-R-O, Reserva spelt in Italian. It's a Sicilian red wine. That's pretty much all I can give you on this. Not having the bottle actually right in front of me, so I'm going to try some Sicilian red wine now, which I think might be cooking wine, hence it might have been open for, I don't know, the better part of 3.5 weeks. Here we go. Like I said, quite a ripe nose. Notes of vanilla. Almost, ooh, like a nutmeg. There's something in there, like a brioche. Some kind of French, like not cinnamon, but something you'd smell in French toast, a banana even? Almost like a banana sort of French toast kind of setup. I'm getting out of that, which is exciting. Now hang on. Right. No, that'll do. Let's get it on the palate. Hang on, my iPad rotation is just completely, I don't know if that's gonna make a difference to the recording. We're on the iPad again here, team. So we've upgraded from iPhone, which you last heard me from pesting around the LMS paddock. I'm gonna stop procrastinating and drink this wine. Here we go. Oh, it's not cooking wine. I think it's actually quite nice. To be honest, now that I know it's not cooking wine, I'm going to give it another go, because that first taste was really just, am I going to singe off my tongue or not? It turns out not. So let's give it another hone. Got a meatier flavour than it does a nose. So yeah, a bit of red meat there. Oh, I'm struggling. I'm struggling on the palate, or the palais, actually, as we discussed on previous episodes. One more hoon. The final hoon, if you will, which I shall. It's almost like there's a buttery scotch kind of, a butterscotchy? Buttery scotch or butterscotchy? Let us know in the comments. A sort of note in there. And there's sort of like, there's sort of a, like an essence of bramble as well, you know, and that's probably your more generic dark fruits coming through. But I mean, mate, all in all, to be fair, I'm going to go, what am I going to go with here? I'm struggling for legs a little bit with this one. And on the glass. Look, it's in the sevens. It's going to go, it's a 7-1. It's a 7-1. So that'll do us. 7.1 on the one. We'll take that. Give us a minute and I'm going to think of some more content. Right. That's the wine done. So we're now into the racing news segment of the podcast. Not much has happened, obviously, in the world of IndyCar. Is that mum getting home pissed? Anyway, not much has happened in the world of IndyCar. Alex Palou's done another photo shoot at the... I'm pretty sure I know the exact conference room where that took place, the sort of champions dinner. So he's got a new Tagore, which I'm sure he's over the moon about. And had to put on a black tie. Everyone always looks good in black tie, don't they? So that's kind of the IndyCar news. No new signings. I had a call with James Hinchcliffe yesterday. That went very well. And actually, tell you what, it was quite funny. I got a very strange moment of IndyCar fanboydom, whereby when Hinch jumped on the call, anyone listening to this podcast, I'm assuming, and I might be correct or incorrect, which is the case with any assumption, that you're a massive motorsport fan. So you might know what James's office actually looks like. So he's got heaps of helmets because he's done a lot of swaps over the years. And there's this sort of imperial, almost, you know, wood paneling in the background. Very Canadian. And anyway, so I jump in the corner, so I see the backdrop, and I was almost sort of starstruck by the backdrop, which is a very strange thing to happen to anybody. But all's well that ends well, which that did. So that's the IndyCar news of the week. Is that it? Is that seriously it for IndyCar news? Alex Palou picked up a new mug. And I spoke to somebody else called James. Nah, that's it. I mean, the second Primacar still hasn't been announced, so we're waiting on that. Well, let's be honest, confirmation. But I saw Callum Ilott, actually, over the weekend. That was great. Great to see him and his lovely girlfriend, Kate. Not too much more to add on that either, to be perfectly honest. Right, but that's LMS news, technically, segued on from IndyCar news. So I'm not going to slap myself on the wrist there. That's fine. Right. Formula 2. We didn't have a race last week, did we? So, I mean, we never do with Formula 2. I don't think... I'm staring down the barrel here, and I'm thinking... I'm not even going to have any Formula 1 news. Are we going to have some Formula 1 news? Anyway, Formula 2. Zane Maloney. That's a bit of Formula 2 news. Zane Maloney signed a contract with a Formula E team. So bloody good on him. He'll be making some nice money on that. Let me find it out. I don't want to get this wrong. Zane Maloney. And I want to give the team some just credit because they've given me some Formula 2 news this week. And that's very generous. So he's walked away from Sauber Steak, which makes a lot of sense. It is... Oh, Yamaha! That's right, I remember seeing that. And I was like, oh, that's quite cool. So it's apt Yamaha. Decent colour scheme. I mean, it's a little bit Michelin. But no, but hey, look, great stuff. Good on him. Sick bastard. Oh, Rami Malek. I think he'll go good in a Formula E car, to be honest. He's a real hacker. A real hacker, if you will. Not to be confused with the dance that the All Blacks do before every game. So that's Formula 2 news. Formula 1 news. Maybe I'll hit him up some insurance, actually. Formula 1 news. I feel like somebody's done something stupid. There you go. Alpine. Renault, actually, more to the point, have pulled out of the sport. So they've done a Honda. Let's see if they actually follow through with it. But yeah, so they've said that they're not going to supply engines past 2026. What's happened here, essentially, is, without saying too much, I don't know. I don't know how much I can or can't say on this. Renault, right? And sorry for the gap in coverage. Audio? content? Who knows? So Alpine are going to be out of a team in 26. I think that much makes, you know, that any idiot could see that. The problem is that the general assumption, and people have kind of leapt into the comments going, you know, Andretti's entered the chat, Andretti's sort of been in the chat for a few months on this now, obviously. I mean, everybody behind the scenes knows more than what we do. However, I don't think this is going to be as clear-cut as great, here's Andretti's opportunity for a Formula One entry. No worries, no harm, no foul. They want out, they want in. Andretti aren't the only people who want into Formula One, and that's the thing. And also, Andretti being a very successful family-run company and you know, capable of getting, you know, hundreds of millions in investment or whatever else they need from within the United States, there is always a bigger fish. Ewan McGregor said that in, I believe, the second Star Wars film that he appeared in. Could have been the first. Wasn't Obi-Wan Kenobi, was it? Yes, it was. He was Obi-Wan Kenobi. Was he? Fuck, who knows? I'm pretty sure again, as I said earlier in the podcast, I'm either correct or incorrect on that one. I've gone so far off track here. Jesus, okay, so Obi-Wan Kenobi, he said there's always a bigger... Alpine Formula One team. Look, there was this Russian dude once upon a time who had a lot of money and bought basically half of a Formula One team. Then one of his dad's pals went to war, and I'll say no more. Anyway, look, Andretti's not the only show in town, and Renault's going to know that. Look, they're French, they're going to want to squeeze everything they can out of this deal, and look, I'd be rocking on the Russian and Saudi doors. I wouldn't be entertaining the Americans, but anyway, we'll see how that one plays out. I'm not saying anything more than that. So that's the Formula One news for the week. The crisis control, I mean, I've had my own. I had a great crisis, or actually I narrowly avoided a crisis, you might be able to say, this morning. I woke up and I'd actually had a dream that I'd had an enormous meltdown, like a fat meltdown. The tears, you know, like the works, I couldn't get out, like couldn't move, couldn't speak, no matter, you know, a real shit show. And I woke up this morning and I thought, have I massively humiliated myself yesterday evening? Did I have a real episode in front of quite a few people? And then I realized it was all a dream. And so I thought to myself, oh, well, that's good. That's one less thing to do today. Right, crisis control. Crisis. Here we go. And again, you can play this game at home, folks. You just Google crisis, hit news, and you see what comes up. I mean, obviously, if you've been looking at any of the news, there's, you know, dramatically escalating conflict in the Middle East, but I don't know if I'm quite equipped for that. Kind of, you know, that level of crisis on my own without Clem. If Clem was here, we'd tackle the issue, no worries. Right, pension withdrawals jumped to $52 billion in cost of living crisis. I don't quite understand that. I don't quite understand pensions because I just assume I'm never going to be able to access mine. There's a brand new Falklands crisis. I thought we sorted that out in the 80s. Falklands crisis erupts as islands release defiant statement to the UK over, here we go again, 4 billion oil field. I mean, 4 billion, I mean, I hate to sound out of touch, but 4 billion, that's barely going to touch the sides in our problems, is it? Yeah, add it to the tab. Fucking no worries, but 4 billion, fuck, we'd spend that on a roundabout in this country. Just put it on our tab. It'll be fine. Relax, Falkland Islands in Argentina. How many times have we said that this year in IndyCar? Right, four things we learned at party conferences. That sounds completely uninteresting. The school nursing workforce burnt out and in crisis. Do you need nurses at school? Anyway. Yeah, you probably... I went to see the school nurse actually a few times. Gross. Pensions, there's more pensions. Exeter pub in crisis. Okay, this is something I feel like I can tackle before shock closure. If it's closed, there's not much I can do about that. MPs, Mallorca in crisis. I feel like we've done a lot of South Spain crises. Duncan Ferguson, who's not a good-looking man, working for free amid Inverness financial crisis. So Duncan Ferguson, okay, here we go. There's a crisis in Inverness. The Irish News have picked it up about some unfortunate-looking man called Duncan Ferguson. Let's see if I can help out. Oh, this is bottom-of-the-barrel stuff. Okay. Kaylee Thistle appealed for fans to raise... What is this, by the way? Duncan Ferguson has revealed he is working for free as Inverness manager. Okay. All right. So the manager of the Inverness Football Club isn't getting paid. He's doing the Falkland Islands where he's got his hand out. He's saying, look, you owe me some cash, but we'll just have to stick it on lay-by. Obviously, I can't go without a wage for it ever and ever because I need to put food on the table for myself at the moment. Well, I mean, look, I feel like this is a little bit of a chicken and egg problem here, Duncan. I mean, get some results, get some cash. You know? Good results yield financial reward. I mean, shit, we've seen that in football. I'm assuming this is football, by the way, because this could only happen in such a ridiculous sport in such a ridiculous country. There's a Save ICT fund, the Inverness Caledonian Thistle Football Club. There you go. Of course it is. This wouldn't happen in motorsport, people. Most people are doing jobs for free in motorsport. You just wouldn't hear them complaining about it. And the Irish News, which, to be honest, I mean, it's not... It's impressive that this has showed up in my timeline. Timeline? Google results? Who cares? It is now time for me to hand over to the others and find a way forward for the club that I have supported wholeheartedly moving forward to the Highlands to live. Moving to the Highlands to live. Wish everyone in the future... Okay. Look. Be better at your job. It's a sloppy suggestion. It's a sloppy wine corner. It's a sloppy podcast. But yeah, my solution to that crisis is just be better at being a football manager, and you'll probably find your way to some money. A sausage sizzle. A sausage sizzle never goes amiss to raise a bit of money for a sports club. Look, just get, you know, take a page out of the Bunnings book. I don't know what more to suggest. You know, do a scouting trip to New Zealand, perhaps. You can sell anything door to door. You can sell anything door to door, in New Zealand. And so maybe that's the way they go. So if you just grab, you know, something that you need, what is something you always go to the shops for? Loo roll. There you go. Bang. If you do 24 packs of, Inverness, what was that middle word again? I can't remember. It's something football club, sort of get their sort of logo embossed on each sheet. Just we'll go door to door in New Zealand. We'll knock on the doors and say, hey, look, we're some fucking moron up in the Northern Hemisphere has run out of money for his football team and now they can't pay the coach. So if you need loo roll, which, to be honest, even if right now you don't, we know from 2020, eventually you're going to need some more. Would you mind just picking up this shit and we'll hiff it on your doorstep, leave it somewhere, chuck it in the cupboard, and then we'll be able to get Duncan at a little bit of money so he can get down to the shops and get himself a double decker. How does that sound? That's a decent enough crisis control solution for me. I think... that's nuanced enough. I mean, there's some humour involved in there. But at the end of the day, what it boils down to is it's a genuinely good idea and it wouldn't be a bad solution for old Duncan. Yeah, that does me. That's another podcast. I think we'll probably roll out with some exciting news next week that we've been alluding to sort of all year and maybe even longer than that. With Clem and myself and news and jobs and all that kind of stuff. Basically, yeah, me and Clem have made a baby. So we'll talk to you about that next week. And in the interim, have a great time. Sorry we're a day late again, but again, like I said, it's not a Sunday. I'm going to stop dilly-dallying at the end of this podcast and tell you sick fucks to have a good week. Ciao.